The goal of our first podcast here with the His Show podcast is simply to give you an overview of what this is and why we think it's important and why we do what we do. The podcast will consist of interviews with current and former MLB players, umpires, collegiate coaches, people of all skill levels. We'll ask them simple questions about, tell us about your baseball journey, tell us about your faith journey, and how have those two collided to make you the person you are today. In addition to that, we will have Sunday 15 on Sunday mornings during baseball season. So people of all skill levels, regardless of where you are, if you're out of town and you want to tune in and get a message on that Sunday, we'll have that available. But what we want to do today is simply share our stories. I'm Lincoln. I'm sitting beside Austin here, and we just want to share with you our own faith and baseball journey very briefly to tell you a little bit of why we do what we do and why we think this is important. You know, I met Austin before all this because he was playing ball with one of my brothers, and then he was my assistant coach for a while and did a lot better job than I did, so I just turned the reins over to him. But Austin, as we get started today, won't you just bring everybody up to speed on your baseball journey, your faith journey, and anything else of why you feel like this is something that's important?
Yeah, so I got saved when I was 14 years old. I grew up in church. Parents had us in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and so I knew the gospel. I heard it constantly, and decided to make that decision at 14 years old to follow Christ, and got baptized at that age too. Like any other high school guy or person out there, going through high school and college, I kind of drifted away from being close with Christ. And just had a bad relationship I was in with a girl, and just different things that were keeping me away from growing closer to Christ. So that was I got saved at 14, going through high school, going through college, and it wasn't until my senior year in college that it really hit me that the life I was living was not drawing me closer to Christ. It was making me backslide. And so I remember working a FCA football camp as a volunteer that year, and the speaker, Shep Shepherd, was there. He was our keynote speaker that night, and I remember the message he had. He asked one simple question to the crowd. He said, "Are you truly a Christian?" And for some reason, it was a simple question, but it really hit me, and it really made me think back on everything from being saved at 14 to that point in my life. What was I doing that was pleasing to God, and what was I doing that was not pleasing to Him? And there was a lot more things that were not pleasing to Him than that were. So I decided to rededicate my life that night. I remember just, you know, going back to my dorm room and just, you know, figuring out what changes I needed to make in my life. And that day moving forward, I started intentionally making those changes. And my life got better. I was happier. The changes definitely needed to be made. So I made those changes, and shortly after that, I felt the calling into ministry. I knew I wanted to do something in sports, and I wanted to do something that was related to ministry, and FCA was that perfect opportunity for me. Lincoln did a good job of explaining that to me, what it was like to be in ministry, what it was like to be in sports ministry. So we had discussions over the next couple months, what that might look like, bringing me on board with FCA in Gaston County. After some months of praying and meeting and talking and figuring out what the plan was, I made that decision to come on staff. So we did that in September of that year, came on staff full time. I've been on staff for 6 years now. So it's been a great journey, and I'm looking forward to going forward with this journey and being able to minister to and through the coaches and athletes in our area. But with my baseball journey, I played baseball at a young age and started T-ball, played Little League, played middle school, played high school, and like most of us, my baseball career was cut short after high school for no reasons. I just was not good enough. So, but I had fun while it lasted. I loved every moment of being on the field, being at practice, being around my teammates, having the coaches that I had who had a huge impact on my life on the field and off the field. And, you know, that's my baseball journey. I was just an average player. I was nothing special. Never claimed to be, but I just enjoyed being around other baseball players and coaches. And that's just been my journey so far. So now I coach. I started, like Lincoln mentioned, at the middle school level and enjoyed coaching there for a couple of years and then moved on to coach it at the high school level with my former high school coach. And I can honestly say it's been some of the best years of my life coaching the past 5 years, and looking forward to continuing that journey as well. So that's where I'm at on my baseball journey and my faith journey.
Well, don't let Austin sell you short. He played on a pretty good squad his senior year, and everybody likes to say that their high school baseball team was better than everybody else's, but I think yours might have been one of the best three-game sets I've ever seen was the state championship series you guys played at NC State's baseball field. 30-second overview, man. That was a good squad, right? A couple of them guys in the big, some in college. Like, how did that feel?
Yeah, it was fun. We went 27-3 that year, started out 18-0, and we got beat 1-0 for our first loss in an Easter tournament game off a little dink hit over shortstop. And that cost us our first loss. But we had some studs on that team. We had a current major leaguer. Our pitching staff was incredible. Our lineup 1-9 could swing it. We just had a really talented group, but we were very close. And I think that's kind of what set us apart from others. We worked hard. You know, every day was a new day for us. We had a motto, day one, every day. Every time we stepped on the field, whether it was for a game or practice, we made it day one. So anything up until that point did not matter. Didn't matter if we lost or won or whatever it was. But we had a great team, but we were very close. And I think that's what brought us over the top. But yeah, that three-game series was insane. We won game one. I think it was 8-5. I remember they hit a leadoff home run that still hadn't landed. A guy named Luis Paula hit a shot down the left field line at NC State, and that led off the game for them. But after that, we just kept our composure, and then our leadoff hitter came in there and hit one out, too, to start off our inning. So it was quickly tied 1-1. Then we won the game 8-5. We came into game two the next day and got beat on a walk-off grand slam. But, you know, most teams would – that's pretty devastating, losing a walk-off grand slam in the state championship game two. But we were able to gather ourselves after the game. I remember we went to the outfield behind the outfield wall and had a players-only meeting and decided that we had made it this far, we'd accomplished so much that we weren't going to let one pitch determine our season. So we came into game three and grinded it out, and I think we won 8-6. So I don't remember much from that series other than those couple moments and then the dog pile, but it was a lot of fun.
It was fun to watch, and you're right, because you guys had lefty 92 starting game one, righty 90 starting game two for you guys, and then won game three with the number three arm. It was just fun to watch. You're right. Your leadoff batter did hit the first pitch dead center. The man, the myth, the legend, Spencer Wiles, wherever you are, I'll never forget that. But a little bit about me. I'm just going to intertwine my faith journey and my baseball journey together because they run parallel to one another. I grew up southeastern North Carolina area, middle of nowhere, and Lake Waccamaw, which is a special place to my heart. Oldest of three boys. My dad was a baseball guy. We all loved to play ball. I probably had the least amount of baseball talent of the three, but I loved it. So that's just what I did. We played ball. We enjoyed it. We played every time we could. We played other sports. About that time, I grew up in church. My parents did a good job exposing me to that, preaching it at home as well. But what I was hearing that made it in my brain never really made it from my brain to my heart and my soul. And because of that, baseball was always an idol. Baseball always took first place for me. I had a plan. I would tell God, you keep making me good at baseball, I'll go to the big leagues, make a bunch of money, have a platform, and tell people about Jesus. So my faith was always behind baseball, which was a problem. As it progressed at the high school level, I finally got decent enough to get some looks from a few colleges. Around that time, though, I sustained a thumb injury playing basketball, and weird things happened with that injury. I never got it back like that. I just never got the confidence back after surgery. Basically ended my career. Because baseball was number one in my life and it was my identity, when it was taken from me, I didn't know what to do. Because of that, that really started a downward spiral for me for about 7 years trying to find myself. My whole life was baseball. That was gone. I didn't know what to do. So I found various ways to numb the pain and take my mind off of that, and it really started a downward slide for me. So at that point, playing the game was over. In 2009, after a long string of events and running from God and straining multiple relationships in my life, I got down on my knees in my brother's bedroom and I said, God, whatever you have for me has to be better than what I have for myself. What I've been doing is not working. And I know who you are. I know what you've done for me. And I submit my life to you. Whatever story you want to write, you write it, because I'm tired of it. From there, I wish I could say I got up off my knees and my life was perfect, but that's not the case. It's been a journey ever since following Jesus. Shortly after that, I felt him calling me into ministry. I'm thinking, God, you've got the wrong guy. You might have a bad resume for this. Shortly after that, I felt God urging me to marry the woman that I'd been dating at the time. And here we are, been married almost 11 years, have two daughters. I'm still doing ministry. But as I was doing ministry, what made sense for me was sports ministry, primarily baseball. So for me, after that, doing ministry, coaching, being around the game, I just came to the conclusion that if what I do can keep one person from making the mistakes that I made, then that's what I want to do. If the truth of Jesus Christ can form somebody's identity where they can realize baseball is what they do but not who they are, and Jesus comes first, then I feel like that's what God's called me to do. And meeting Austin and working with him and serving with him, I know he feels the same way, and that's kind of how this baseball ministry and things have been birthed, that we say, hey, we want to be able to get a message out to people that play, people that coach, and talk to them about how God is more important than what they do in the game of baseball. So before I get into one more thing, I want to ask you, Austin, I know, and I'll dive into what the gospel is, but it's kind of hard for us. Baseball is a performance-based game, right? You know, you go 3 for 4, you smoke 3 balls in the gap, you strike out one time, and all anybody wants to talk about is how bad you looked on that curveball in the dirt that you struck out. It's performance-based. What did you do most recently? I know it's hard in a game of failure, in a game of performance-based, to accept the gospel that says you're not good enough, but Jesus is. Rest in that, and that righteousness is bestowed on you. That's hard. Playing the game, coaching the game, doing ministry, do you see that performance-based and that failure piece make it harder for guys to understand who Jesus is?
Yeah, so just, you know, my experience in coaching with the high school age guys that I work with, a lot of them, I heard you talk about identity a while ago, a lot of them play baseball year-round. That's the only thing they do. That's, you know, every weekend they're somewhere playing. In the spring they're playing. They really don't take any time off. So it's become kind of an identity for these guys at this age. And because that's all their mind is set on, is pursuing baseball, getting a scholarship, going to play college, and then hopefully moving on after that. But Yeah, it's become an identity for some guys, and they get so caught up in you know, being the best at their skill. And, you know, social media's been a big impact on these guys in the baseball world, because there's videos of players all the time hitting 90 on the gun, hitting home, whatever it is. There's videos out there of someone that's better than they are. And they're just trying to chase the next best thing. But you see guys all the time, the way that they handle failure in the game, you know, they take it with them off the field. And one thing that I continue to remind them of, especially our guys, for me, I remind them that baseball is a game built on failure. And if you look at the Hall of Fame, there's guys in there, I mean, that were career 300 hitters. And if you sit back and look at that, that's 3 out of 10. And we would consider that failing, because you're not even to 500, which is 5 out of 10. You're below that. So baseball's a game built on failure. And what I remind them of is, you're going to fail. All right. There's no perfection in baseball. There's the only perfect thing that ever existed was Jesus Christ. But, you know, baseball's a game of failure. You're going to fail, but it's how you react to failure. That's what sets you apart from being good to great. A good buddy of mine, Jeffrey Springs, was telling us a while back, we were asking him, you know, he's in the big leagues right now, but we were asking, what's the difference between a big leaguer and a guy that's in Triple A or Double A? And one thing that's really stuck out to me that he said is that, the thing that he's learned that sets him apart is, it's literally how you handle failure. It's not your skill level comes, you know, that's a big part of it, but there's guys, he was telling us, that are in the minor leagues that are way better than he is, but he's in the big leagues and they're in the minor leagues for a reason. And he said the thing is, how do you handle failure on the field and off the field? If you go out there and you give up 2 jacks in an inning, how do you respond to that coming into the next inning? Or how do you respond to that in the locker room, to your coaches, to your teammates? And so that's what sets you apart, is how you handle failure, all right? And when it comes to our relationship with Christ, we've got to understand, too, that once we become followers of Christ, we're still going to fail. There's no perfection in that. Christ was perfect. He's the only one that's ever was perfect and ever will be perfect. But he died on that cross so us as failures, as sinners, can come kneel at the cross and know that he's already paid the price for us. But when we do fail, when we do sin, we have to repent of those sins. We have to bring those to him and know that he's there to accept us and forgive us of that.
Good word, very true. And you're right about that. It is a game that, and learning how to brush off a bad day makes a huge difference. So we've talked about the game a little bit. As we close out, we refer to the gospel, and hey, what is that? And very simply, what that means is, it's good news. And God created each of us, and he loves us, and he has a plan and a purpose for us. And if you don't hear anything else, know that God created you and he loves you. He has a plan and he has a purpose for you. However, when God did that, he set a standard for us, and that standard is perfection, batting 1,000, if you will, which no one has ever done. As God's word says, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is just missing the mark, falling under the standard. We've all done that. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take me long thinking back to think of a time in my words, thoughts, or actions that I've missed the mark. Well, God knew that, and the only way to pay for that sin is through death and bloodshed. So God loves us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to this earth in the form of a man who was born like us, walked like us, talked like us, dealt with the things that we deal with, and he did that in his time on earth without sin. He did not miss the mark. He achieved the mark. Therefore, he became the only sufficient sacrifice for all of our shortcomings. And then he went to the cross as sinless, went to the cross to die on the cross, to take the penalty for our sins. He paid it by dying on the cross. And in that moment, all past, present, and future sins were forgiven, not because they didn't matter, but because the penalty to be paid for them was paid through Jesus on the cross. 3 days later, he walks out of the tomb to defeat the biggest enemy of all time, which is death, to show us that not only is placing our faith in him give us eternal salvation with him, it also gives us victory on this earth, knowing where we will end up. So that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what that rests in after that is, do we recognize our sinfulness and rely on the blood and sacrifice of Jesus for our salvation? You can't be too bad. You can't be good enough to earn it. It rests with Jesus. And we'll unpack that more and more as we continue. And if you ever have any questions on that in the episode notes, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to discuss that more. But when that is grasped and understood, then we can begin to enjoy, play, coach, and be a part of the game of baseball from a place of victory, not for a place of victory, because that's already been settled based on what Jesus has done. So for today, we just wanted to share a little bit about us. Austin, I appreciate it very much, my friend.
Yep.
We'll be plenty more where this came from. We'll have Sunday 15s. We'll have guest speakers. We'll have a lot of good stuff coming your way on the His Show podcast, where the game and the gospel collide. See you next time.